is Joseph Kokom at MTAC 2017 on behalf of Becca Hilburn's Art Process blog. If you could introduce yourself, Becca Dinoff.
Hi, I'm Becca Dinoff of the Evergreen Borough. I make handmade geekery.
Okay, and what's bringing you to MTAC this year?
I was here last year and had a really great time, and I'm happy that I got to be back this year. The convention attendees are super great and super sweet, and yeah, I really love this con a lot.
Okay, so you're thinking that handmade things work really well at this convention?
They do. There's a pretty decent balance of print versus handmade in this particular alley.
Yeah.
And it's been good for me. So yeah. But as with everything, your mileage may vary.
Yeah, of course. So is that usual for an artist alley in an anime convention? Like, how well do your wares usually fare versus, like, say, prints or comics or anything along those lines?
Well, I've structured my business so that I have things that are what I think of as unique or enough variety where if something is not going well, I have enough to sort of balance that out.
It's like a mix of geek culture and anime sort of thing.
Right. I try to appeal to a large audience, and I also am a super big nerd myself, so I make things that I would want to buy.
Okay. And what got you started working conventions?
I did craft shows in college for a bit. And I actually was dragged by my friends to attend my first convention and walked into the artist alley, and I was like, wow, this is indoors. There's no weather concerns, and I don't have to drag in my own table and tent. And also, these people are all geeks like me. Here's where my audience is. So then I signed up the next year.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And you're from the Atlanta area, correct?
I am, yeah.
Okay,
Atlanta.
Do you travel to a lot of cons, or you just have a few exceptions like MTAC?
I try to keep my travel within about 6 hours, because that's the most driving I want to do in one day by
myself.
You
don't ever fly to any cons?
I don't fly because my stuff is really heavy, and I do 3D art.
Sure.
Yeah, with prints and things like that, or traditional media, it's a little bit easier to fly, I think.
Right.
But my stuff's really big, so.
Yeah. So I noticed you have some metal stamping things, which is something I haven't seen very often in the artist alley. Can you tell me a little bit about how you decided to go about doing metal stamping? Is it something that you specifically did for your business, or is it a hobby that developed into something for your business?
I had a friend who was doing it as a hobby, and we have like a monthly craft get together, and I was like, hey, can I try that? Show me what you know. And she was doing like local craft fairs and things, and so I saw it, decided it was super fun because you bang metal with a giant hammer, like, what's not
like
to love about that?
Traditional blacksmiths or something,
right?
Just without all the fire. Right,
right, exactly. It's sort of a cold fusion, if you will.
Right.
And I decided that, you know, fandom needs something that's both subtle and nerdy. So so that was my niche a little bit.
Yeah, and also something that's not just generic mass-produced merchandise.
Right, well, that's what the Artist Alley is all about.
Right,
you know?
Something that your hand went into creating and not just ran off a million copies.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it takes a while to sort of develop the skills and develop the product, but at this point I've been doing the metal stamping for about a year and a half, and I've gotten a little good at it, I think. So.
Okay. And how hard is it to make a new product or a new SKU or whatever? So, you know, something new comes out, or you're inspired by something or something along those lines, you say, okay, I want to try to make a new pendant. What's the process for that?
I have a, there's this thing called Trello, which is like an online to-do list.
Sure.
And I have a Trello that's like miles long.
Ideas
and inspiration.
Business aspiration, basically.
Right. Basically, like, here's a cool thing. How do I apply that cool thing to my business? Or how do I take that aesthetic and make it my own?
Yeah.
Or how do I see this really cool thing that someone else is doing and learn those skills?
Yeah,
and like somehow
into
make
your thing.
Right, yeah. Right. Somehow make it totally different, but with those same skills.
Sure.
So, yeah. Plus, I really like buying new equipment. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a problem. So like, craft supplies are a weakness.
You can tell yourself that you're growing your business.
Right. Growing the business. Thanks, Michael.
buying toys, basically.
Basically, yeah. I get to buy toys.
Very common artist trope, though, right. That you become obsessed with your supplies as much as you become obsessed with creating.
100%. All of my glue guns have names. It's a thing.
Yeah, that's how Becca's blog got started in the first place, because she also liked toys, but she didn't know what to get. So it's like, well, I'm going to try to put information out there so that people don't get bit like she has, for buying products that don't hold up,
right.
To say the least.
Right, yeah.
So for your plushies, they're all hand sewn, correct?
Yep, they're all handmade by me.
Okay. What's the process for, like, choosing those materials and just experimenting with things? Like, do you tend to just go with, like, a couple of designs or one design and stick with that? Or do you try to swap out materials or maybe stitches as the product evolves?
I tend to go through different versions of things. Like right now we're on version, I think, 3 of the sunscreens, and they just sort of keep getting better and better, I think. Part of being an artist is finding more efficient ways to do things, and finding ways that look better or are easier to do. So I've done a little bit of that as far as, like, how do I get inspired to create plushies, and mostly just go to the fabric store and walk around and go, I'm going to make something out of this. I don't know what yet, but it's coming home with me.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Yeah,
that's how the Yetis got started, is they're super soft.
Yeah.
And that fabric was just like...
Their faces are just adorable.
Thank you. They're really soft. And I like ran my hands over the fabric. It was like, yes.
I sense a fuzzy, adorable creature in my future.
Right, exactly. The plushy sense was tingling.
Yeah. So, are you having to, like, treat the fabrics, or for the most part, when you buy them, they're ready to be processed into plushies?
Yeah, I don't buy, like, raw fabric. All of the fabric I buy comes from, like, it's pre-processed, I guess. There is a sort of a faux fur fuzz cloud that happens on my floor once I cut the fabric, which is super hilarious to walk into.
Do you have problems?
They're 25. And the circles are Velcro. Yep.
Do you run into issues with your pets trying to eat your stray bits of fabric?
My dog Hala really likes fuzzy things. She will like come into the studio and like watch me as she like eats a piece of fuzz off the ground.
And just to see if it's okay.
Just to see if it's okay, like in slow motion. And no matter how many times I'm like,
maybe
nah,
this,
bro, don't
maybe
do
this
it.
Time.
Right, maybe this time, but no, she.
Okay, I was just curious. Sorry about that. I didn't want to interrupt your sales, Becca. So I was trying to get at how many conventions do you work in a year? I know you have currently either full-time or near full-time job, correct?
I have a full-time muggle job as an accountant. And I do 12 to 13 conventions a year. Some big, some small, some in the middle. But I try to balance being able to put on a good show at a convention with... pushing myself really hard.
Yeah.
So trying to do that in a sane sort of way.
Right.
My goal is
so that you don't burn yourself out.
Right. Well, eventually I will do this full time. Cross my fingers, knock on wood. and the goal is to be doing a convention pretty much every other weekend.
So, yikes. That is intense.
It'll be good though. Like, I love doing conventions. I love meeting people. I love seeing nerds excited about nerdy stuff that I also like. Like, I've made really great friends here through either Artist Alley or just talking to people, and like building that community means a lot to me. And so being able to go to different places and facilitate that makes me really happy.
Yeah. So we haven't actually talked to too many artists who are trying to turn Artist Alley into a business. A lot of people just have it as supplementary income, or they do other things like Becca does with creating her comic. And the Artist Alley is just a way to rope in more people for that. So would you have any advice to people who are considering, maybe they've done a few Artist Alleys and they're considering doing it full time? Like, how do you go about doing that? Just work more cons or do more research or produce more product? Like, where do you start to move towards doing it full time?
It's a combination of a lot of different things. One of the things that I'm trying to do personally is to diversify my sort of revenue streams. So I have an online store,
right?
TheEvergreenBorough.com. I have an Etsy store. I'm doing craft fairs as well as artist alleys. Getting your product and your face and your brand in front of as many different people as possible is kind of my goal. And I would recommend that for pretty much anyone that's sort of common sense-y.
Yeah.
More cons is not necessarily better cons. You want to go to a con that has your audience. So, like, I do pretty well at comic cons. I do pretty well at anime cons. I don't do super well at anything that's not geared, like, a gen kind of con. I haven't done super well at because there's just too much going on.
Yeah. So Becca had some issues with general sort of cons in the north as well. I can't think of what it's called. It was like a general geekery con.
Yeah.
And she sold terribly, but I've also known people who said they sold well there. So
right. And this is what's so hard about this business is what works for me is not going to work for Becca, is not going to work for anybody else. Like, you have to do some market research. One of the things that I do when researching a con is I look on the U.S. government website to see what the median income of that area is.
Yeah.
If it's a certain number per population or higher, I know that I'm probably going to do pretty well. If it's below a certain number, it is sort of hit or miss. So it depends on if I have another con that weekend, if it's one day, 2 day, etc. Knowing what cons you're going to do well at, knowing what kind of chances and risks that you can affordably take, that will help.
Sure.
But one of the best pieces of advice I ever got going into this as a business is that you're not ready to do a con until you're ready to take a complete loss. Like, if you cannot afford to get your gas to go home unless you make your table, you're not ready yet.
Just like every business, you need some sort of stream.
Exactly. You need to raise some capital before you try and, like, push yourself too far.
Sure.
So, yeah.
And Becca also has con reviews on her website, natasoup.com. For probably around 25 cons, like detailed reviews of what sold there, what type of people were there, how the staff treated you. So if people are interested in seeing if a con fits them, that might also be a good resource for that.
It's a really good resource, and I know that I've used it in the past.
Okay. So I did want to also ask you, kind of along the same vein, doing a lot of cons, are you switching out merchandise that you're displaying at a con to fit the type of people that's there, or for the most part your booth stays static?
I will switch my display around to give a little
highlight
bit more
certain
to
things.
Highlight certain things. If I know I'm going to be at an anime con, I make sure that I have the anime stuff that I like prominently displayed at, you know, eye level. If I'm at a comic book convention, I might give more display space to the comic stuff.
Yeah.
It's really a your mileage may vary. You also have to keep in mind what's around you. You want to catch the flow of traffic in the right way so that it flows with your booth, sort of
right.
Visually. Because I do what I think is kind of a lot of cons, I don't necessarily have time to be like, there's this specific guest at this con.
Yeah,
I'm gonna
make something
that.
With that IP or whatever.
Yeah. Because I don't know, I'm a fan of everything that I make, like every show, every fandom, every like nerdy plushie, like I like those things and I think it shows. So it feels a little disingenuous to be like, Peter Capaldi's going to be here. Let me do more Doctor Who stuff. But if that works for you, like, go for it. I'm not, you know, I don't want to yuck anybody's yum, but that's not how I do things.
Okay. And would you have any advice to an artist who's considering working in tech for the first time? This is Sunday, so you've had a couple days, and you came here last year, so experience with MTAC.
My advice, this is a great audience. Be very comfortable talking to people, because people want to talk to you about your, you know, fandom and stuff. My other advice would be to bring a table partner. This is the first MTAC that I've worked by myself, and if not for Becca and Joseph, I probably would have died. So, bring somebody who can bring you food or watch your table or let you
talk with the staff and make sure that they can at least support you if no one else can.
Exactly. So, that would be my advice.
Well, that's excellent advice. Yeah, and where can we find your work online?
You can find it at www.theevergreenborough.com or on Etsy, or just Google The Evergreen Borough and, it'll show up because I'm the only result. So, yeah. And if anyone has any questions, please feel free to email me. I am more than happy to answer anything specific or general or anything.
Okay. So, and do you take custom sort of plushie commissions or metal stamping or anything like that?
I take custom metalwork commissions. I take custom plushies. If you want something, I will find a way to make it work.
Fantastic.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, it's been great talking to you, Becca. I hope you have a fantastic MTAC.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Up and Conning Artist. A video version is available on the Natasoup YouTube channel, along with some convention recaps. And if you wouldn't mind, please consider supporting Becca Hilburn by contributing to her Patreon or checking out her Tiny People comic at 7inchkara.com and wherever books are sold.